Be so kind to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's good that everybody is in the house today. We're looking fuller. And it just feels good. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse number 11. Here the writer writes, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Going all the way over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And this time we're going to read verses number 7 and verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Paul writes, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Jesus, we love you. We are so thankful. What a beautiful spirit that's in this house. Your presence is so thick. God, the Holy Ghost is reaching today, reaching for our hearts, reaching for us today. And I give you praise and glory. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, God, today, what it is that you have for us. We're quick to give you all the glory and all the praise in that matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, The Ultimate Goal. The Ultimate Goal. The year was 1953 in the month of May, when it was both Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay were they who had made the final decision to be the first ones to ascend to the top of that great and forbidden mountain called Everest. In both of their minds, it was Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay who understood all too well that the cost would be great, and that this and their decision, it was they who had to be willing to pay the price. See, what I'm saying is, it was not just going to be a walk in the park. It was life or death. It was victory or defeat. It was to conquer or to be conquered. It was to attain the ultimate goal, and or it was to face the chance of their dying and their desire to attain it. There's a lot of risk factors. There was a lot of element factors that could be and would have been against them and would be against them. On their ascent towards the top of Mount Everest, it was they who ended up encountering and having to navigate a 12-meter rock face, along with a high ascending wall of solid ice. Hillary and Norgay, during their ascent, were faced with sheer exhaustion. Times they were faced with lacking of oxygen, along with other perils that in a moment could be that which caused them either one of them to die, could have cost their death. But knowing the risks and understanding the challenges that they would face, being very aware of the cost of such a great feat, on they went until it was they who finally reached their ultimate goal. They knew that they could die. Nobody else had ever done this before. Maybe some had tried, but nobody had made it to the top. Nobody had gone up against the elements. And it's told how that with Mount Everest and climbing that mountain, that just in a flash of a moment, the weather pattern would absolutely change. Maybe fog would settle in. Maybe snow would begin to fall. Temperatures could plummet. It was up for grabs. But on they went, day after day, one foot in front of the other, until it was they who reached the ultimate goal. See, this afternoon, however, I have not come to preach to you about the exploits of those who beat the odds, of those who faced their challenges and their desire to attain what was for them the ultimate goal. No, this afternoon my desire is to preach to you and to seek to present to you that of the greatest and most prized ultimate goal. A goal that we as humanity at the end of this temporal life can hope to attain. This goal that I speak of today is one that starts down the road of desire. It is a goal that is birthed in the minds of those who one day want to call heaven their eternal home. And it is a goal that drives a soul from the inside of their very being through a faith in God. That in there, maybe in your pursuit of this ultimate goal, that one that God himself, I believe, will be the one to lead you down that path and along the way towards it. It's not hidden. It's in his word. He tells you, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that there you may be also. God is going to be there throughout the entire journey. Biblical history writes of those who in their walk with God embarked upon this path towards their goal of which I speak. They were they who in their lives at first counted the cost and considered this journey set forth by God to be worth their willingness to pay the price. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. You know what? I believe God has given to me this promise, and I'm going to do whatever it is that's necessary for me to do so I can reach this ultimate goal. This is what I've been looking for all my life, and I've been going down this road and that road, and now set before me is a path that's going to take me towards heaven. Yet sadly, some who are walking this path are they who, for reasons of their own, turn back. Or they veered off course, and now for all eternity, it's they who will suffer the fate of those who failed to reach and to attain that which was the ultimate goal. How many was it, maybe, that history didn't write about that began that ascent of Everest? How many was it, they that were overtaken by the elements and suddenly things began to go really wrong in their life, and so they turned back, they walked away. But it was a goal, it was in their hearts. I guess what I'm saying to you today is this, that this journey towards this celestial path is one that's going to cost you. It's one that no doubt will bring with it its trials and its tests, and in your understanding of this, it's you, each of you, who must decide if this ultimate goal is worth it to you. Is this going to be worth it to you? Is this what you want to do? Is this a life you want to live? Are those the sacrifices you're going to make? Is this going to cause you, as Jesus talks about, to forsake mother and father and brethren and sisters? That nothing is going to stand in the way of that goal? Is this going to be that one that says, you know, I would have taken that job, but it's going to take me away from God. I would have done that, but my spiritual man's going to, or my spiritual lady in some of your cases, going to suffer. Is this really worth it to you? Is this going to be what you want in your life? I believe as the onlooker who is looking in from the outside, what it is that you'll see is what very well may be a long journey. Wouldn't it be nice just to graduate from school, I guess, and walk out in the job force, and everybody's just knocking your door down, trying to get you to come and work for them and step into that career with ease? Wouldn't it be nice just to tell God that you're sorry for your sins and get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and just done? Up to heaven you go. It could very well be a long journey, a journey who with it will surely come any number of its pitfalls. It is in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse 8. Peter writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, today you've got an adversary. We got a God up in heaven, but we got an adversary of our soul. See, this path that you will venture upon with a purpose of your attaining the ultimate goal is one that your adversary, if you allow him to, will be the one to have you begin this journey feeling bogged down and even overwhelmed with the task of the journey. As it's you who walks upon the path, that'll be what leads you towards your ultimate goal. Wow. The changes and the concept and the difference of what I used to believe and what I used to think and what was okay at one time according to the Word of God is not okay anymore. And wow. Yeah, you don't want this journey. It's long. It's hard. Yeah, maybe he's right. No, he's really wrong. I mean, it'll interfere with my personal life. This journey calls for a sacrifice of my time and my energy. This path that I'm on, that I'm walking on, demands from me a perseverance and a determination to keep on keeping on. To be called upon to remain faithful and diligent upon this path, purposed in light of the vision of my one day reaching the ultimate goal that I have set my sights upon. Look over there. No, don't look over there. No, straight ahead. Well, what about? No, I can't do that. Well, what about that distraction? I can't do about that. I can't allow that to get me off my path. See, it's on this path that you, my friend, will be tested and tried. On this path, it is you who the devil will seek to sidetrack and attempt to bring upon you feelings of despair in view of the task that lies ahead. It'll be you, it'll be your faith that will be tested. It's your love for God and the things of God in your life that will come into the crosshairs. Satan will seek to use your old friends, your family, your job, the cares of life, along with the deceitfulness of riches to attempt to be they that divert you from the task of your keeping yourself upon that path that leads to this ultimate goal. Let's talk about society for just a moment and bring it into kind of clarity of a worldly pursuit. You fall in love with that man or that woman, and you decide that I'm going to give you my life, and I'm going to live with you for the rest of my life till death do us part. And then the children come along, and then the problems come along, and the financial difficulties come, and you start pitching a fight because you don't agree with something that they're doing, and they bow up, and they decide they're not going to stop doing it, and you decide, well, I'm not going to talk to you, and maybe you sleep on the couch, or maybe you don't even come home one night because, you know, you got all fussed up and angry. But wasn't it you that said it was for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part? Yeah, but I didn't know he was going to act like that. I didn't know she was going to behave like that. I didn't expect a whole financial thing to go right into the garbage can, and didn't think we'd have to sell our house so we could survive. He didn't act like that during the honeymoon. Was she with something totally different? When we were courting, yeah. But it was till death do you part, wasn't it? Well, why are you going to that church? Why do you have to be so dedicated to God like you are? Listen, you got to work Sunday and Wednesday nights. I'm looking for a new job. What do you mean you're looking for a new job? Well, I got so much in my life right now, I can't afford to give my time to God. Yeah. But wasn't it you that said, God, if you forgive me for my sins, and if you fill me with your Spirit, I'm going to do my best to walk that walk, to talk that talk. I'm the one that's going to live for you. I'm going to follow after you with all my heart, my soul, my mind. The Bible says you got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. But I didn't think it was going to be hard. I didn't think it was going to be a tough hoe. See, it's the world in which we live that is opposed to such a task and the path that you have set upon. One where many of the people in this world, and maybe in your world, your personal world, are they who attempt to get you to choose to seek an easier way. It would be considered for you to take a less restrictive path, you know? One that they themselves might have chosen to take, a path and a course that, unbeknown to them, is a path will lead them ultimately to, and maybe if you choose to follow them, to your failure. A path that very well could be the one in the end of all things of your life, could be what causes or cause you to forfeit your own desire to attain that ultimate goal. As it was you who chose to listen to the wrong voices and chose to be led off the path in the onset of your life that you embarked upon. I don't think it's necessary to be so faithful, you know? Committed's one thing. I know this is carnal, and I hope you don't mind. It just threw it into my mind. 38 years ago, in a back room, in a little church in the city of Penticton, I stood with my best man. And he said, Tim, listen, you're not going to just stick with the one woman, are you? You're still going to hang out and go pick up some girls and, you know, do the wild thing once in a while, aren't we? And I looked at him and I said, Cameron, I said, are you crazy? What do you think I'm here for? I said, what do you think I'm getting married for? I said, that's going to be in my past. I said, I've chosen Diane to be my bride. I said, I ain't going to go crazy and do the things we used to do. Not for me, man. He said, I'm going to, married or not, he said, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do, and if I feel like veering off the path, I think I'm going to do that. And I said, you go ahead and do that. Well, 38 years later, I'd like to just check the balance account and who's going forward and maybe who ain't going anywhere. You know, you started like this. You know, you started this path. Everything was what you wanted. And come on, you've been going to that church for weeks. Every Wednesday, every Sunday, we're going to the park today. We're going to have a picnic. I'll be there after service. Oh, come on. Hey, you know what? Aunt Bessie and Uncle Tom, they're coming for dinner tonight. Well, tonight's Wednesday service. Yeah, that's nice. But I've got a journey ahead. I've got a goal ahead of in my life, and I'll be home after service. Maybe I'll just have dessert with y'all. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 1 and verse 1. The writer writes, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to me, church. The world in which we live is currently on a collision course with that place called hell. And the last thing that any of you in your life need to do is to seek the world's thoughts as well as the world's perception and concerns to this journey in God that you've embarked upon. The reason is, if the world had possessed all the answers to our desire to reach our ultimate goal, then all of us would be well on our way to reaching it. But hear me today loud and clear, the world doesn't have that answer. It's the people, even those in your own personal world, that will tell you, or say to you, or you don't have to do, you know, all of that. Why? I want you to know that's not necessary to follow all that. I mean, the Bible, you know, it's open to your own interpretation. Why? Well, just look at me in my life. I'm not even doing half of what you're doing. You think I'm okay, don't you? And often, even before it's you who finally has the chance of laying your burdens upon the altar before God, often before it's you who takes a hold of God's salvation plan, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in an unknown tongue, it's your adversary. It's they whose understanding is that which is darkened, are they who will attempt to divert you off your path and from your desire to one day not only reach but to attain the ultimate goal. But I want to tell you, I come home from church and I got tears flowing down my eyes. I want to tell you, God forgave me there. I've never felt forgiven like that. You know, honey, there we were, standing in front of the church, hands raised, I was crying out to God, and the next thing you know, I couldn't form my words, and out of my mouth comes this language I never learned. And it was just like God was oozing, the Spirit of God was oozing in my soul. It was like a river, just like the Bible said, a river of living water. And I began to speak in an unknown tongue. I got up from that altar and I walked out of church that night and said, you know what? I'm going on that path. I'm making that decision to live for God. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. I don't care. Nothing's going to get in the way of my ultimate goal. Hillary, Norgay, you're nuts. Nobody's ever conquered Everest. You know how many people have tried and died? Who quit? Forfeited their chance of attaining that goal?
Yeah, tell me about it.
How many people have got on this path towards Christ? Turned around and walked away? Yeah, well, many are called and few are chosen, but blessed are you if you're called and you're chosen and faithful. See, as it is you who perseveres, as it is you who makes your way to the foot of the cross, as it is Jesus Christ, God become flesh, who forgives your sins and who washes them away in baptism in Jesus' name, as it's you who God fills with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue, what happens next is the realization inside your soul. So it tells you that you're on the right path. I never felt this before. This is different. This isn't just church. This is a relationship that just opened up with God. I tell people, and you might think this is odd, especially coming from a pastor's mouth, but I tell people all the time, I don't believe in religion. Everything's religious. Your dog's religious. Your garbage can is probably religious. And you're a pastor. You said that you don't believe in religion? No. Aren't you a Pentecostal? Yeah, but I said Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is an experience. It's something that comes down inside your soul and changes your entire outlook. It takes you off of that path and puts you on this one. You get your eyes on that heavenly goal, that ultimate prize. What happens on the inside of your inner being is a newfound desire with the purpose of you one day attaining what to you now is nothing less than that ultimate goal. Oh, but beware. Beware of the many obstacles. Beware of the many pitfalls that Satan will seek to place in your way, as it's you who begins with a purpose of a journey down this path. I want you to put your arm up. Where are you going? Yeah, well, I'm going down here. Oh, what'd you do that for? I don't want to go that way. She's got her leg up in a chair. Come on. A pastor, a long time ago, he told me this. If you don't know where you're going, everybody's going to tell you how to get there. But I'll tell you something else. Don't put your hand up because you might get hurt this time. When you know where you're going, everybody gets out of your way. You know exactly where you're going. Where are you going? I'm going to church. What are you doing? I'm living for God. Well, why are you doing all that? Because I've got an ultimate goal. One day I'm going to cross that little crossroad, that threshold to those streets of gold. See, as you head and ahead of you down this path is that valley of humiliation. A valley wherein it's you who's brought to the understanding of the life that you had lived in sin and shame. That wasn't good, was it? I should not have done all that stuff. It's this valley, it's God who will call for your sacrifice, and it's God who will seek to take you from your spirit of worldly pride. You Pentecostals are a bunch of nuts. I won't lift up my hands. I won't worship God verbally out loud. Excuse me, can I come over and just stomp on your foot and see what kind of things you say inside your mind? I'm not emotional. Really? Let me put coffee on your brand new couch and just pour it. What do you think you're doing? God will come inside and say, you know what? There's nothing. Are you ashamed of me? No. Are you telling me you don't want to bear your cross? No, no. Then you got to swallow your world with pride. See, it was Jesus Christ, my friends, who is God become flesh, had to humble himself upon a cross in order for we who would choose to follow to be the ones called upon to humble ourselves also in the sight of God. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you, by seeking God's ways and not yours. How? How? By your being the one to turn your back upon a world whose intent was your ultimate demise. And now it's you who needs to place your focus on the ultimate goal of heaven, the goal that lies down that path that you now have chosen to walk upon. As you walk through the valley of humiliation, you must understand that it's you who needs now to decrease, as it's God and the ways of God in your life that now must increase. See, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay, in their desire to conquer Everest, yeah, they faced challenges and obstacles, and that if allowed would have and could have caused them to forfeit their desire to reach Everest's top. By that same token, all of they who in their lives who choose this path, the path that they who in their lives want to walk upon, the path that God promises at the end will be what leads us to that of our ultimate goal. Think about it for a moment. Having said that, how foolish would we be, my friends, if it's we who would dare to believe that on this journey towards our goal is the one that would not be attained without its own obstacles and challenges along the way. Wouldn't it be nice? Let me throw this out there. Wouldn't it be nice? I got no money. Got nothing in my purse, she says. And he goes, my wallet's empty. Look at the gas tank. Yeah, it's below half. Hang on. It's okay, sweetheart. 50, 20, 10. Got enough for lunch, too. Where'd you go? Went out to the money tree. Wouldn't it be nice that we wouldn't have to put up the devil attacking us, and we wouldn't have to put up with temptation and all that doubt and the fear of what's going on, because, you know, we wish it all away. How foolish would that be? See, it's Satan who effectively placed, I believe, roadblocks in your way. It is your adversary who, as we travel down this path towards the ultimate goal, is he who will seek to trick you and to trip you up, and with his deceptive ways will try to get you to turn back from your purpose of staying on the path. Yes, he will. I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again. I think we'd be running well over 200 people if everybody in Williams Lake over the last 20 years that I've met who've walked into here and felt the presence of God would have stayed. I want you to know today that our safety rests in our roadmap, which is the Word of God. Our compass is the Spirit of God that God places in us, and it's those whose lives are placed under the shadow of the cross are they who truly will be the ones to cross that finish line. What I want to point out to you this day is often in order for us to live, as I mentioned a couple of weeks back now, it's we who in turn must be willing to die out to our wants, our desires. It's we who need to die out to our flesh. For it's through the shadow of death that Jesus Christ is he who offers to bring us life, and in that life, a life more abundantly. See, it's Satan who attacks humanity with sickness, even chronic illnesses. It's our adversary that all but daily seeks to place in our path temptations wherewith the devil will cause you to be the one to veer off the course of which you are already upon, offering you a false way, an alternate path, seeking to bring back into your life the things that God had taken away through the waters of baptism, you know, buried with him by baptism unto death, like as Christ will rise to walk in newness of life. Do you know you come out of that baptismal tank like a brand new baby? I remember what you did. I'm sorry. God doesn't. I remember where you went. I'm sorry. God doesn't. Satan, as a deceiver, is the one who seeks to place doubt in your mind, discouragement in your heart, on that journey to that summit of the ultimate goal. See, to the summit, it was Hillary and Norgay during their times of lacking oxygen. I'll guarantee you. Are you human? Good. They were too. No doubt they were faced with feelings of fear and impending death, but they continued on as it was they who went against the odds to where it was they who won. And they reached, they attained the ultimate goal. What a rush it would have been to stand on top of that mountain and put their little flag or whatever it was that they placed up there. We did it. What an ultimate rush. I hope you don't mind me using that word. We made it! Ha! Look at, there they are! The gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. Oh, look at it! Whoa, man! Solid gold walkway. Come on over here, I want to show you something. Look, that's the mansion Jesus got for me. Oh, yeah, I ain't seen nothing. Come on over here, I want to show you my mansion. Ha ha! We crossed it! High fiving it! We made it all the way. You know how close it was to giving up? Yeah, close. But you didn't quit. You didn't turn back. You kept on going till you reached that goal. What does this mean for you then, today? What it means for you today, friends, is no matter how high the mountains are, where they might appear to be, no matter how low the valleys may become, keep your eyes on your goal. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep your eyes upon God, the God that you serve, and upon the ultimate goal that lies ahead of you. For the scriptures declare there is only one way and one truth and one life. It's a course set by God. And those whose desire is to attain that ultimate goal in their life will make it. There are no shortcuts, as every other path and direction that you might choose will take you to that which leads to your shipwreck and not to heaven. And on Judgment Day, it'll be people who say, you know, but God, I just chose that other path because it was easier. You know, that the trials and the tests, the valleys were so much easier to endure. And it's God who will declare it to you on that great and notable day of the Lord come, that the alternate path that you had chosen was none other than the broad way, the way of your flesh, the easy believism path, the no call for a personal sacrifice path, the path that leads you further and led you further away from me, God says, that, and also from your ultimate goal, the one that you started upon. The only way for you to be able to attain the ultimate goal is for you to do all that you know to do in order for you to stay on that path that Jesus Christ, God up in heaven, has set for you. Go back in time to Christopher Columbus. Everybody knows Christopher Columbus, if you got any kind of schooling at all. They say in his journal he wrote, "This day we sailed west, which was our course." We're going to die. We're going to fall off the earth. And there's a great peril. He faced mutiny, and they were going to throw him overboard. What did he write? "This day we sailed west, which was our course." The book of Psalms, chapter 23, verse 4 through 6. But it's tough, it's hard. It's commitment and sacrifice in my life. Yeah, yeah. The devil keeps chasing me, but God keeps holding you. Psalms 23, 4 through 6, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," which is the ultimate goal. See, upon the commencement of this journey in life towards the ultimate goal, it's God who is placed into our hands and continues to seek to place within our hearts a roadmap that will lead us to the promise that God has offered. And this promise and that path, the one that you have chosen today to walk on, that you've chosen to embark upon is one that calls for you every day that you live to keep on going, to keep on keeping on, looking for God to help you to traverse the trials, as it's you who seeks the will of God for the new directions in your life by your being willing to live a life of sacrifice, a life wherein you are no longer are the primary focus, but God is. It's the ultimate goal, the conclusion to this temporal life that we as a people of God seek after. Declaring the words, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Last week I preached a message titled, What Are You Hanging On To? And under the banner of that title, my prayer for you today is that you are and that you will hang on to what it is that you started on in your desire to one day reach that eternal goal. Come on, we can do this together. I know you're struggling right now. I know that there's in your life there's trouble, and you know, you might have lost a job, your finances might have gone south, you know, your mind is overwhelmed with all this garbage that's going on in the world, and you don't know what direction to take. But why don't we link arms? Why don't we go hand in hand? Why don't I pray for you and you pray for me? You know what? Together we're going to make this. You're not alone in this journey. Together we're going to walk it. You just got to trust God. You just got to believe God for what it is that you know at the end will bring you victory. Could it be in your life today, as it's you who lives your life for God, that God's the one that's calling you to reaffirm your allegiance and your commitment that you made so many years ago? Reaffirm your purpose and your desire to keep on keeping on, holding true to the God that you serve, as well as to the desire to one day cross that finish line. It was the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1. He writes, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Get focused, man. Shake your head. It's not over there. It's right up here. Sister Z. Could it be that the Spirit of God has come and is wanting you to look deep down into the recesses of your soul, seeking for you to be the one to dedicate your earthly existence for the purpose of you one day reaching and attaining that of the ultimate goal? Could it be? In conclusion, as we stand together today, I wonder, will it be all of us that are here today that will be the ones to lead this temporal life onto a life eternal with God in His paradise? Will it be you whose prayers and dedication unto God and the purpose of the kingdom of God will be that which helps you to cross the finish line? Come on, church. Give it a thought. Together, we need to declare loud and clear that it's my desire to live for Jesus Christ. It's my desire to be the one who kept the faith and that finish my course towards nothing other than that of the ultimate goal. Because whoever and wherever it is that you are in Christ this day, the time's come for you to declare your pedigree. Those who need the Holy Ghost today, those whose lives are yet to be dedicated unto God, those of you whose desire is to go on for the long haul, those of you that need to realign your purpose and get back on that goal. Today is the day of salvation. Today is God who's ready to answer your prayers, to meet your needs. It's all I can say to you today, church, is as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not getting off this path. I'm not turning left nor right. How about you today? Why don't you, in your own heart, decide, who am I? Who am I going to serve? Is it going to be my flesh that takes me down a path of destruction? Is it going to be my spirit that lifts me up into the arms of God? As that baton is passed, it's a race. See, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Nor yet riches to men of understanding, but time and chance happens to them all. Everybody here, there's nobody here in this house today that needs to miss out on that ultimate goal. There's nobody here that needs to forfeit it.
I love Him too.
Oh, it is you who in your life says, you know, God,
to fail
I don't care what you think anyhow.
Him now.
I lost my mind. I got the mind of Christ. And I'm I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk that walk. I'm going
to
talk that talk. I want you to forgive me for my sins, God. I want you to help me to cast aside the world, the cares of life.
I
have a goal.
Somehow
on that day,
many
years ago, when you washed my sins away in water baptism in Jesus' name, I did rise to walk in newness of life.
When I first heard of Jesus,
why don't you pray?
His love and his grace.
Don't worry about what others think. God's here.
Was overwhelmed.
Maybe he's looking for a commitment from you. Maybe God today is looking for you.
I